The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Gotta love when your harmonica playing is the bump in at the top of the hour. Good to be with you. Jimmy Sengenberger Show. News Talk 710 KNUS. This was so fun to record with Biff Gore. Jimmy at the Crossroads, the name of that one. Search it on YouTube if you feel so inclined. Jimmy at the Crossroads theme song. Time now for the second hour of the Jimmy Sengenberger Show here on News Talk 710 KNUS. We will get back to open. We will open up for the phones in just a bit at 303-696-1971 after our conversation with our second and final guest. Will be free and clear after this conversation. You may have seen online the national news reports from NBC News about Woodland Park, nestled on the north slope of Pikes Peak, with a population of about 8,000. It's a very conservative community in highly Republican Teller County. And in late 2001, the majority of the school board turned to those who could be described as conservative, reformers. You choose your term that you think appropriately fits the board, but the bottom line is that they have been shaking things up in Woodland Park, for example, approving the first charter school in the district called Merritt Academy, which, interestingly enough, has for the first time led the district to boost enrollment just a little bit over the course of, I think, this last school year, which is an interesting stat at a time when you see school districts across the state that have been shedding enrollment. Now, one thing that's important to think about as well, as far as a little bit of context here, is, as we go into this discussion, is the fact that according to the results of the state's CMAS test, just 28.6% of students in Woodland Park could, as of last year, do math at grade level. Only 45.3% can read at grade level. Those are numbers that need to improve. We're seeing this across the state, many school districts, but those numbers need to improve, which suggests an emphasis on academics, which is what members of the Woodland Park School Board have said is their focus, as well as the superintendent of Woodland Park School District, Ken Witt, the former president of the Jefferson County School Board. He was voted in the end of last year in December as interim superintendent this past week. His contract was extended per the contract for an additional full year. Was set up for, I think, 6 months and then extended into another year. Now, there are a lot of things here in terms of these policy changes and the superintendent and so forth that have garnered controversy and opposition from teachers unions like the Woodland Park Education Association and the Colorado Education Association, as well as national media, as I mentioned. So what's really going on from the perspective of one of the five members of the Woodland Park School District Board of Education? David Illingworth is the vice president of the school board, and he joins us now to dive into this very topic. Good morning, David, and welcome, sir.
Morning, Jimmy. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on. I appreciate you taking the time. I want to ask you the same question that I asked a member of the Denver school board a couple of weeks ago when I interviewed her, Charmaine Lindsay. To kind of get things going here, give us an understanding of why you ran, what your motivations were for joining the school board, and even more than that, why get involved in education?
Thanks, Jimmy. Well, I am a father of four. I have four little kids enrolled in the school districts in Woodland Park. They had all been at one of our elementary schools, and then a couple things happened during the COVID times and the remote learning times, and that was that we learned that what was being done was really insufficient. And as a parent, monitoring everything that the kids were being taught at that time, you know, it was apparent pretty quickly that we were just sort of all killing time here. And so, you know, I understand that some of that was just coming down from on high. But the other thing that came as part of that was that several parents decided they wanted to try and form their own charter school up in Woodland Park, just a bunch of families up here. And we ended up getting involved in that in a little bit. And the school board at the time denied the charter school application, even though their own independent expert had recommended they do so and recommended that if they didn't approve it, it was likely that Merit Academy would appeal and win at the state board level, costing everybody a bunch of time and money to end up in the same place. So when a vacancy opened up on the school board, I decided to run, and it was my number one campaign issue that I and the people who were running with me, that if elected, we would reverse that decision and we would charter that school. And that's exactly what we did. We ended up winning in a landslide, honestly. I won by about 13 points, and that became our number one agenda item.
In that regard, then, to be clear, in terms of charters, and also when you talk, we're going to get into social studies standards, we will talk about several of the criticisms of the board decisions in the from the last year and a half. Those are things that you had explicitly run on along with your fellow candidates at the time.
Oh, yeah, all of these things were out there. Anybody could go look at the sort of debate that we did about a month before the election. I mean, it was about improving school choice. It was about restoring parents' voices. It was very much about no more masking. That was a very, very big issue at the time. It was about making sure that we weren't going to have CRT or any of these, radical ideological agendas being like snuck in, embedded in the education, and they kind of get put in there under sort of these euphemisms, whether it be CRT or equity or gender affirming or what have you. And we said we wanted to make sure, I mean, one of my campaign slogans was education, not indoctrination. And, you know, that covers a broad range of things. But the core component is that we want our kids to go to school to receive an education, to receive values that are going to help reinforce them as good Americans when they graduate and are able to stand on their own two feet, and not send them in there to become, you know, activists or basket cases.
David Illingworth, again, our guest, Vice President of the Woodland Park School Board. So you've touched on a couple of things that get into some of the criticisms. We'll get to that here in a second. But I want to ask one more baseline question. I've heard a lot of talk from folks like the superintendent, Ken Witt. We'll talk about the superintendent in a moment as well, from yourself, from others in the board, about academics, really putting an emphasis on academics and getting back to that. What does that mean in your mind, getting back to academics?
I think that means that we want to see measurable results. We want to see that we are scoring well on the state standardized tests like the CMAS or things like the SAT for our high school graduates. We want to see a high graduation rate. So we want to be able to judge our performance on objective, measurable results. I think that's the only fair way to treat anybody, whether it's an employee or whether it's a student and whether it's a board member. We need to be able to produce results, and you don't get that by seeing those sorts of things decline. And that's absolutely, you know, what we had been seeing. There was either decline or stagnation on academic performance in an objective fashion. But I think a lot of people in education have been taking their eye off the ball and getting more focused on things that aren't really academic per se, that seem to be just sort of about like, well, you know, what they call the social-emotional learning or the behavioral, that sort of thing. People are more focused on, oh, well, I think, you know, disciplinary policy, the school to prison pipeline, or we got to take down systemic or structural racism and smash the patriarchy, or as the Colorado Education Association believes, we've got to destroy capitalism itself. I don't see what that has to do with educating a kid, making sure they understand history, literature, math, science, the things they need to go on to a great and successful future and a life of their own.
I want to read a passage, a couple sentences from NBC News report, because you mentioned Merit Academy. Newly elected conservatives on the board acted quickly to approve an agreement with Merit Academy to become the district's first charter school. Yet the vote at a special meeting on January 26, 2022, caught community members by surprise because the agenda made no mention of Merit. It had been listed instead as board housekeeping. And done reading from the news report, then what happened, according to the article, is there were complaints that were put in, there was a legal filing, but that is to say, somebody had filed a legal claim saying, hey, you're violating state open meeting rules because you weren't clear on this happening. And then, by the way, it was put on the agenda on February 9th, the subsequent meeting. That's not mentioned in the NBC article, though. And it also was a proven agreement to become the district's first charter school. Was that vote right there regarding Merit Academy in January of 2022 specifically about approving its entry? Was that what the vote was about? And talk to us about this board housekeeping piece.
Yeah, no, not at all. Not at all. And, you know, that's the sort of reason why I, and I don't think any of the other board members or the superintendent, cooperated or participated with NBC in that. We knew that was going to be a hit piece. We knew he was going to twist things and present them in, you know, the worst possible light. And he was also going to make big mistakes, and that's one of them. You know, I think that special meeting was one of the first we did after we were newly elected and getting used to the Colorado Open Meetings Act and things like that. And there are lots of board meetings and government meetings happening all over the state all the time. And a lot of those agendas are fairly vague and broad and open-ended. And so the board housekeeping had a couple things that were discussed that, you know, it was all properly noticed ahead of time and everything. And wasn't any attempt to hide anything from anybody. We just didn't realize at the time about being more specific and more explicit in terms of what was discussed, and that was a lesson learned. But what ended up, you know, that was about was there was a memorandum of understanding that our superintendent had prepared, and it was the previous superintendent, and it was setting out a process that's like, it was like a one-page document for us to approve, which was sort of like, okay, Merit Academy, if they want to submit a charter application, they should do it by such and such time, and then we, the board, will look at it and, you know, we'll have such and such time to respond. You know, it was that sort of thing. It was just sort of laying out a potential process that the school district and Merit Academy could follow should we go down the charter road, which is what we expected would be done. But that was, you know, one of the first steps in a very long and very public and very high visibility process. We must have had 15 public meetings over a six-month period. On chartering Merit Academy and where Merit Academy would be located and things like that. And it was very, very contentious to some extent, but it was definitely very public, very visible in the Woodland Park School District.
So just to be clear, it was a process that you were setting forth in approving that memorandum of understanding and what that was. It wasn't approval of the charter school being done on January 26, 2022.
No, yeah, absolutely not. The charter school was not approved until their actual charter was approved. And I believe that was done in May of 2022 after a lot of meetings and a town hall and things like that.
So January 26th, that happens. Then you're getting complaints. And there's a revote on the memorandum of understanding for the process on February 9th at the next board meeting. Why was that?
We just wanted to be as transparent as possible. We didn't say, okay, well, you know what, you disagree with us, but we're moving on. Like we said, but you know, what's the harm? Let's go back. Let's put it on an agenda. Let's put it on there and spell it out that it's the Merit Academy Memorandum of Understanding, and let's just go from there. So everybody is fully aware. We were trying to do everything the right way by the book.
And there was a third vote as well, because there was a legal case proceeding and so forth. And there was, what, in April, I think, an additional subsequent one?
Exactly. There's one person who, if you look into stories about us, you'll see this lady repeatedly being interviewed. She seems to be like the number one voice of the opposition. And she sued over that. And since that litigation was pending, we decided to, again, maybe in the interest of saving everybody a little bit of time, money, and legal fees, again, putting it on the agenda. And I think we talked about it for an hour, had a healthy debate about it, and again, voted on it. And ultimately, the district court found that even if the board housekeeping was not sufficient notice under the Open Meetings Act, that the subsequent processes of putting it on the agenda and debating it and voting on it had cured any violation.
Again, we're talking with David Illingworth. He is vice president of the school board in Woodland Park. And, of course, it's interesting where you're talking about several months, multiple votes on the memorandum of understanding, but also several months of meetings, town halls, and so forth on an issue, of course, that you had an interest in because you expressed during the campaign as a candidate that you would want to see a charter school entered into Woodland Park. So, but even though you had that as a campaign platform, I just find it grooving back with the Blues Brothers doing the Junior Wells classic, Messing with the Kid, which I thought was apropos when we're talking about education. Don't be messing with those kids. Jimmy Sangenberger back with you. News Talk 710 KNUS. We are joined on the phone by David Illingworth. He is vice president of the Woodland Park School District's Board of Education. And we're talking a bit about some of the controversies and issues that have been coming up in Woodland Park and vis-a-vis the school board and the school district. And one of the issues has been this notion of the school board not being transparent. And as discussed in an NBC national article this week and elsewhere, there have been questions in regards to Merit Academy or issues raised about the first charter school in the district. Just to walk through what we clarified with David Illingworth, and I want to make sure I understand this right. So, David, you can just tell me if I have it accurate, is that January 26, 2022, the school board met and had a line item on the agenda that had been noticed as board housekeeping, which included a memorandum of understanding for the process. This is the what was done under that board housekeeping time frame in the meeting. It was specifically for a memorandum of understanding for the process of approving Merit Academy, not approval of Merit Academy, but the process of approving. Then complaints came in, and at the subsequent board meeting on February 9th, I think it was 2022, you brought it up again, discussed it again, and did a revote, did an extra one in April because there had been litigation. And again, that was in regards to the process for approval of Merit Academy, not approval of Merit Academy itself. Just was that an accurate reflection of the facts?
Yep.
And I think that's important and interesting because folks who listen to this program will read my columns in the Denver Gazette. No, I'm all about transparency. I'm about the Colorado Sunshine Laws and following those laws. And I appreciate that you at least did that revote and brought it back out there and said, okay, this was something that wasn't done the way it should have been done. Let's do it again. But there's another issue of transparency that has come up in regards to surveillance footage. It's mentioned in the NBC article as well, where there was a school board meeting. I think it was in December. Might have been the one when Ken Witt was voted to become the new superintendent of the district. And there was surveillance footage that caught a couple of school board members on the camera in conversation. And then I think another school board member, as well as Ken Witt, came in and were added into that conversation. And that surveillance footage was requested in an Open Records Act request that had been denied. There's been litigation. And eventually it somehow ended up being leaked out. And there are concerns about this because under Colorado Sunshine Law, school boards, among other boards in government, are not supposed to have more than two school board members meeting or gathering in for particular reasons without having a noticed meeting open to the public. And so complaints have come in. There was litigation. There is still ongoing in terms of a appeal of a decision by a judge. I want you to explain what was going on there from your vantage point and why the school board had not wanted to release footage.
Yeah, and it is the subject of some litigation. It is pending before the Colorado Court of Appeals. And I'll note, you know, we were talking about the litigation from the, you know, resulting from the board housekeeping thing, that's from the same person. This one lady, Erin O'Connell, she just sues us, and she's, you know, determined to use lawfare when she can win the ballot box. She was also the leader in attempting to recall three of us from the school board. So just to kind of set the landscape a little bit on that.
But a recall that it was unsuccessful, right, last year?
Unsuccessful. They didn't get enough signatures. And, you know, one of them got arrested for making a false police report about my wife. So, you know, some of them act in a very ugly fashion, unfortunately, and are not content to try and just win democratically. But they're going to use lawfare. They're going to use underhanded tactics. You know, that surveillance footage, this is real quick. This happened on December 19th of 2022. We had a big public interview of Ken Witt as a finalist to be the interim superintendent that night at the high school auditorium. And as that was wrapping up, people started, there are a couple of people, students, an employee apparently, started heckling and harassing President Rusterholz and Ken Witt. And we had to pause, and security had to escort them out and things like that. And so it was contentious. And about 5 days beforehand, there had been a big sort of like student protest about the fact that Ken Witt had been chosen as the finalist. So there were high tensions going on there, and that played out at that meeting. And so immediately after the meeting, I escorted Cassie Kimbrell, one of the other school board directors, a young mother, and Mr. Witt over from the high school auditorium over to the central office. And we were waiting there for Mr. Rusterholz to arrive because David Rusterholz was going to be Ken Witt's ride. We were all concerned for Ken's security and safety. So David Rusterholz had actually given Ken a ride. Ken's car was not parked over there by the auditorium or the central office. So we were there for a little bit just waiting for David Rusterholz to arrive. And when David Rusterholz arrived, now there are three board members in a single space. And in fact, we're very aware of the law. I'm an attorney, and I take it very seriously, and we all take our oaths very seriously. And in fact, I can remember, I think it was Cassie was like, okay, there are three of us now, no discussion of public business, because that's the key component under the law. If you have more than two and the discussion of public business, that's going to be a public meeting under law, and that's subject to the advance notice requirements. That's subject to being open to the public. But the law also says a chance encounter of this many members does not automatically make it a meeting. And this is exactly what it was. Our hands were forced here. I watched the first time I'd ever watched it was in the NBC report, the edited version. And I remember because at one point you can see somebody walk by. We were actually hanging out there because there was a whole lot of hostile people milling around outside. There was a large crowd. There were people sort of lingering, and we were concerned that if we walked out right then, that we were going to get possibly there was going to be a scene that was going to erupt around us. And so you got to remember that historical context that there'd been a protest, that we had just come from a big crowded meeting where there had been another protest and a disruption and people who would refuse to sit down and behave and act in, you know, an adult fashion. And so we were there and we were like, well, we've got to wait this out a little bit. Let's wait until some people have sort of dissipated and everything, because, you know, it just happened at the meeting this week. You get crowds, you get these people who are determined to cause a scene, who are looking for a fight, who are looking for the cameras. And so we didn't want to be a part of anything that was going to lead to any sort of intimidation or some sort of incitement or things like that. Because, you know, there's just some people who aren't content to engage in the civic process and in a democratic process.
Sure.
And that's what was going on. I mean, when you have people who are stuck somewhere because there are a whole bunch of crowd outside and you're worried what they're going to do to your safety and your security, that's not a public meeting. I mean, we were just stuck there waiting until people sort of went to their cars and we could peacefully exit.
And that was, I think, at least according to the NBC News, like 8 minutes of the four of you talking together. Okay.
And we were very clear, like, now, don't talk public business.
Can you certainly at least understand why some folks, especially in this era where we have school. I mean, I look at what happens with multi-hour executive sessions, which I don't think a lot of the executive sessions done in Denver school board for hours at a time are legitimate uses of executive sessions. And that's a different issue of executive session. But nevertheless, it deals with Colorado open meetings laws. So can you understand why folks may be, setting aside the activists that you were talking about, why there might be some folks who would say, you know what, this is something that's a little bit concerning, because in this era, we want to have maximum transparency.
Yeah, and I want to have maximum transparency too. I mean, that's one of the reasons I'm talking to you today, Jimmy, about this. I'm not clamming up and saying, well, that's a subject of litigation, we're not going to talk about that. And the litigation there is about the precedent. It's not about this particular video. It's about maintaining safety and security of schools, because never before can we find that anybody has requested surveillance footage from a school. To say nothing of after hours and things like that. And the consequences of that becoming a routine thing are kind of staggering. I mean, people could request surveillance footage, from parks and from swimming pools. I mean, you could follow somebody who works at a place by getting the surveillance footage every day. There's no limit under the Colorado Open Records Act as to who can request something and things like that.
So,
and so we take that sort of thing very seriously.
And real quick, just catch us on. So the judge in that case, who was the same judge in the previous case that we had talked about, he did rule against the school district in that case. And then it has been put on appeal. Catch us up on that real fast.
Yeah, he ruled against us on it. We think that was incorrect. We appealed to the Colorado Court of Appeals. And the Colorado Court of Appeals immediately granted our request to stay his decision, meaning that under the law, that tape was to remain in the custody of the Woodland Park School District. It was not to be released until the Colorado Court of Appeals was able to render a decision on the merits as to whether or not we, are required under law to turn over just any kind of surveillance footage that anybody might ask for. And I think the Court of Appeals rightly understands that this is an issue that's going to affect not just schools, but every government agency under the sun throughout the state. And people, millions of people, are on government property, in government buildings, government facilities, where there are surveillance cameras every day. And so it's a big decision.
And there's no audio on this surveillance footage, right?
Right.
Okay. David Illingworth is our guest, vice president of the Woodland Park School Board. Let's shift gears to a couple other criticisms that aren't related to transparency issues. One of these is the American Birthright Standards. I have described the American Birthright Social Studies Standards as a traditional approach to social studies curriculum. You were the first school district to adopt these in the country, and there were a few members of the Colorado State Board of Education that would have liked to see these become the statewide social studies standards. Of course, instead, we got something very, very different, something I've been very critical of in writing and on the radio in terms of social studies standards that were approved at the state level. Talk to us about the American Birthright Standards, what they are, and from your vantage point as one board member, remember why you wanted to see them become the standards for Woodland Park School District social studies.
The American Birthright Standards are adopted from different curricula, largely in use, especially in the state of Florida and the state of Massachusetts. So it's a new curriculum or standard. It's not really a curriculum. So it's standards. The standards inform and influence your curriculum. Okay. So it's making sure that certain things are being taught. But it's not a curriculum per se. So let's be clear about that. But they come from things that have already been in use around the country. And I know that Florida, Massachusetts are sort of the main ones behind that. And as you know, those are two very different states. And so the reason we wanted to do that was to make sure that we were giving a full and honest and unvarnished look at American history, and understanding how that is influencing us and our what we're teaching. And that process is ongoing. They're just standards. In terms of how those standards influence the curriculum, that takes several months to put together, and that's not something that is done just by the board. It's not something that's been completed yet. But what we know is that they are going to allow us to give the full scope of American history, warts and all. That was my question to the superintendent in the discussion was, do you believe this will better help us teach 100% the full picture, warts and all, of American history? And his answer was unequivocally yes. And that's what we're about. We want kids to learn history. I mean, if you don't learn it, you're not going to learn from its mistakes, and you're going to be doomed to repeat them. It's not about putting a thumb on the scale or trying to put anything in any sort of rosy light. At the same time, it's about making sure that we don't have people who are putting the thumb on the scale and trying to revise and rewrite history. You know, things like the 1619 Project, which are completely ahistorical
yes.
and incorrect.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is about making sure they get real American history, which obviously, of course, includes some of the mistakes, some of the tragedies, some of the evils of American history. So this is not an attempt to remove anything controversial from American history. It's about making sure the whole thing is taught and it's accurate.
You know, back in February, when I first wrote the happenings in Woodland Park, I got a couple responses from the president of the Colorado Education Association, Amy Baca Oler, and she was expressing disappointment about the American birthright standards being adopted by the district. But she also claimed the standards, quote, are outliers in its biased and disingenuous portrayal of our country's history, and noted that, quote, educators must be allowed to tell the honest and accurate truth about our country's past and present without censoring unflattering elements. And yet, as I was reading the American Birthright Standards, which I don't think are perfect, but I think they're better than what we see at the state level for sure, and they discuss slavery, they discuss Jim Crow and other, quote, unflattering elements of American history. However, you see reports that have been stated that as many as 40% of Woodland Park high school teachers are expressing an intent potentially to resign from the district. Sounds like there might be a contingent that's particularly social studies teachers who are opposed to this. What is your message to educators and the community for why this was the right decision from you as one board member, David Illingworth?
If you want your kid to receive a real education on American history, and if you want to be part of teaching a real education for American history without being pressured to favor one side or another, or without being pressured to, put a polish on it or put a thumb on it or anything like that, then you want to come to the Woodland Park School District, because that's what you're going to get here, and that's what we're determined to achieve. We're determined to remove ideological influence to the maximum extent possible and make sure the kids receive a full and balanced education. That is not about trying to erase anybody from history or anything like that. That is about teaching about the wrongs and about the heroes who rose up to correct those wrongs. What you guys, you got some people who, you know, again, go back to the Colorado Education Association. What they're focused on is passing resolutions, which they did about 2 weeks ago, saying that we have got to take our schools and use our schools to defeat capitalism, to defeat structural racism, to defeat the patriarchy, okay? We want to teach history. We're not here to teach structural racism. We're not here to teach the patriarchy, okay? And so that's what we're focused on, is history. Some of these people are focused on politics instead of education. And some people, when you tell them, no, we're going to be focused on education and academic success, they say, I don't want to be part of it. They put politics above their duty and above our kids. And if that's what they want to do, go do it somewhere else. You're welcome to it. This is America. I'm not going to stand in your way of you making a decision about where you want to work. But parents are choosing the Woodland Park School District because they want to make sure that their kids are taught everything that they're supposed to know without being indoctrinated
sure.
into becoming some sort of sign-waving activist.
David Illingworth, Vice President of the Board of Education of Woodland Park. We have to take a break. Can you stick around and finish up the hour with us?
Yeah, sure.
Great. We will continue the conversation on the other side, because there's another issue. This is near and dear to my heart as far as mental health is concerned. I've been very public about my own struggles with mental health in the past, and there are accusations that the school board and the district as well are acting in contravention to the best interests of students' mental health. Let's pick up the conversation on that as we have a few minutes left on the other side with David Illingworth, Vice President of the School Board in Woodland Park, here on 710 KNUS. It's right as rain. The Jimmy Sengenberger Show back with you. Tommy Castro here with the music. Now B.B. King Entertainer of the Year from the Blues Awards. I've been on stage playing harmonica with Tommy three different occasions. Good to be with you. The Jimmy Sengenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. We've been talking with David Illingworth, the vice president of the school board in Woodland Park. A listener text in part saying, Jimmy, I'm very thankful you're having Mr. Illingworth on. I read an article, I believe it was the day before yesterday, in Woodland Park. And it was a texter is noting about reaching out to a school, trying to get in touch with Illingworth, had left his or her number at the Gateway School, hasn't gotten a call back. But expresses, I just wanted to tell him thank you and the board members for putting education, actual knowledge before all this nonsense, and noting, I was a teacher for 39 years and I never saw such a mess in our schools. I was one of those teachers who taught kids knowledge, not nonsense. That's interesting. I haven't heard that. Knowledge, not nonsense. David, we are just getting low on time. I want to ask you real quick one more very specific question, and that is about mental health. There are claims that have been made against the school board because and the superintendent because of a decision, I think on the superintendent part, Ken Witt, not to approve or extend grants that supposedly concern mental health. The school board isn't standing for mental health. This is near and dear to my heart, but I want you to go ahead because we're tight on time. Your thoughts?
Yeah, we're obviously going to continue to make sure that all of our child's needs are met just in accordance with the law. We're going to have counselors at all of our schools, so we're going to continue to maintain that sort of thing. And we continue to participate with the UPath BOCES in terms of making sure that children's needs, whether it's mental, developmental, behavioral, those needs are going to be met. And so we transport kids to wherever they need to go to get those kinds of great and infinitely valuable services. The grants thing, you know, broadly, there are a lot of grants that come with certain strings attached or are not very effective in achieving what they set out to do, or maybe what their goals are contrary to our educational mission or the core values adopted by the school district. And so grants have to be looked at, you know, in that full context and understanding. You just can't take the money. Everybody knows there's no such thing as a free lunch, and we've got to avoid unintended consequences, which, you know, might not be what we're looking for. And so that sort of thing informs which grants we chase and which ones we don't. And so I think that's what's been happening. I don't think those grants are really about mental health as so much as they are about some other things like maybe social emotional learning and things like that. But that's a decision for the superintendent, and we support him in making sure we're putting academics first while, of course, absolutely making sure our kids are having their needs met. And we've been improving those sorts of services in his tenure.
We are just low on time here, so I want to give you a minute to offer up some final thoughts, David Illingworth, and I hope you'll come back to the Jimmy Sengenberger Show.
Well, thank you, sir. And I just wanted to say, following up on improving services, let me tell you what the real record is here. Since I and the other members have been elected, this district has grown by 15%. That puts us top five enrollment growth in the state of Colorado, reversing a more than decade decline where we saw eroding enrollment every year. We've done that by making the first charter school in the district's history. We've given the biggest ever pay raise to teachers in the district's history. And we're improving our services by offering increased opportunities for our parents, whether it's transportation services for all of our kids so the charter school kids can ride the bus as well, having sixth grade at four different schools instead of at one school, having pre-K at all of our elementaries instead of just one or two, and by making sure that we're participating in the free and healthy meals program adopted by the voters of Colorado, so any kid who wants a free meal can get it as soon as they ask for it. And so that's what we're about. We're about improving everything, increasing opportunity, increasing services, increasing security and safety, while, of course, making sure that academic success is one priority. So thanks for giving me a chance to talk about that a little bit.
David Illingworth, Vice President of the Woodland Park School District Board of Education. I really appreciate you taking the time this morning to spend the hour with us on the program, addressing directly a lot of the criticisms. There are more, and there's certainly a lot more that we could talk about in that regard. But alas, an hour goes by pretty darn quick, doesn't it? I really appreciate your time this morning. Thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, sir.
We're going to take a break here on 710 KNUS. When we come back, 303-696-1971. If you were listening and you're a critic of the school board, call in. I want to hear from you. If you are a fan, if you want to talk about something different, we got a lot that we'll do in the next hour. It's the Jimmy Sangenberger Show, News Talk 710 KNUS. Don't go anywhere. 303-696-1971.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.